Good morning, everybody. As always, it's great to see you guys. Let's worship the Lord this morning.
Love and do for ever. Glory is good. the Lord this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Say hi to your neighbor. Welcome them. How we doing, guys? Amen. You may be seated. It's my privilege this morning to welcome you to Hardin Baptist Church in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is our desire as pastor that each one of us are eager and excited and hungry to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. If you're a guest of ours, we just want to say welcome to you. We hope, even though it's early in the morning, that you already sense the presence of the Lord here and that you just sense a joy that just radiates from the people of God as we gather early to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We would never want to embarrass you as a guest of ours, but we would like to recognize you and place a guest card into your hand so we could know you were here today. There's some guys going to stand up to my right or to my left, and if it will not embarrass you, would you mind just raising your hand just high enough above your shoulders these guys could see you? If you'll just kind of wave at them, they're going to start back through the congregation now, and when they get to your set of rows, they're going to place a guest card with a pencil into your hand, and if you don't mind, just take that guest card with the pencil, begin to fill that out. And then a little bit later on in our service, we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. And during that time, what we'd like for you to do is to drop that guest card filled out in the offering plate. You guys ready to worship? We're going to sing next. I need to check. Is it okay to stand? Okay. I never know. Sometimes I have you stand. Matt has you sit. And I'm running late this morning, so we didn't get to communicate. So it's okay. All right, let's all stand together. We're going to pray first. Then Matt and the worship team are going to lead us into the presence of the Lord. And guys, I know you know this, but worship's not about them. It's not about style. It's not about sound. It's not about volume. It's about Him. Amen. And God has ordained not only private worship, but public worship. We come together now to worship Him publicly. Let's focus on Him. Let's realize we're part of something bigger than us individually. And let's worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, boy, thank you for this opportunity. There are saints around the globe today that meet under the threat of losing their life. Places where it's illegal to name the name of Christ. And yet the church will obey you rather than man, and they'll meet in secret. Oh, their worship will be public, but their meeting place will not be known till the last minute. And yet here we have the privilege, no threat of persecution, to assemble. But yet there are so many obstacles this morning, Father, to keep us from truly focusing on you. And we pray they be removed. Because of the nature of the message and the length of the message, we're only going to sing two more songs this morning, Father. So we don't want anyone to miss out. So let us use these two songs to lift up your name. Christ's name. Amen.
in your eyes. The splendor of a king, Lord in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and the darkness tries to hide. Jewels and gold.
Have your Bibles this morning, be opening to Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to be looking at verses 33 and 34 of Leviticus chapter 19. If I were to be in a conversation with you and you ask me what I was doing, and I were to say to you, getting ready for company, how many of you would understand that? Being from the country, I want to make sure all of our city folk understand what it means to get ready for company. Now, I don't know how your house is, but at our house, if Salisa tells me on Tuesday that we are having company on Friday, I immediately know there is a routine that we're going to go through to get ready for company. Amen? In other words, we're going to clean the house inside and outside. Amen? I've got to mow the yard again. I've got to re-weed the landscape. I've got to weed eat the fence down the driveway and in front of the road. And then, of course, we're going to clean the house on the inside. I mean, we're going to vacuum, we're going to redust, we're going to stock the fridge, not with things that we think we like, but things we might think our guests would like. And then on Friday, when it finally rolls around, I'm going to be so excited that company's coming that I must come home early. Agreed? Now, because I'm going to come home early, I'm not going to park where I normally park. Salisa has this rule. Company gets the best parking spot in the carport. Amen? On the driveway. In other words, I'm going to park my truck out beside the shop where no one can see it. So they have access. As soon as they get out of their vehicle, they can walk right down our sidewalk to our front door. Now, we are going to be ready at the Cunninghams, and we're going to be anticipating our company's arrival. So that the moment the dog barks, and we know there's 37 seconds until you're going to be at the front door ringing the doorbell, we're going to be ready. I mean, just as soon as you start up on the porch, I'm going to already be getting ready to get up out of my recliner. I'm waiting for the doorbell to ring. And as soon as it rings, I'm up at the front door. I'm opening the door, and I'm going to say, wow, glad you are here. Come on in, and I'm going to open the door for you. You're going to come into our house, and you're going to step into our foyer. Now, depending on what season it is, I might ask for your coat, hang your coat in the hallway foyer closet. You know what I'm talking about? All the time, I'm going to be talking to you. I'm going to shake your hand depending on what kind of guest you are. I might give you a shoulder-to-shoulder hug if I'm really glad to see you and I know you well enough. And then once we've touched and we've talked, we're going to start out of our foyer into our living room. And it's not going to take us long to get there because this is a small foyer. I'm not going to assume you know where the living room is. I'm actually going to begin to give you a tour of our house so that as we step out of the foyer into that little entry hallway into the living room, I'm going to show you that on the right-hand side is the guest bathroom. Now, rest assured that if company's coming, the toilet's going to be clean. Amen? I mean, it was already clean, but I don't know why we do this. We do that where we squirt that blue stuff again. We take the scrubber and we scrub again. We make sure there's soap. We make sure there's a clean towel. Not a towel we've already used during the day, but a fresh towel. Going to make sure there's plenty of toilet paper. Amen? Because you are a guest in our house. Company's coming. And then I take you on into the living room and never will I sit down where I was sitting till you sit down. Why? Well, I mean, it would be rude of me to take my seat before you took your seat. And I'm actually going to say to you, make yourself at home. And I'm going to give you the option, if you want to, of choosing to sit, if you're the man, in the best seat in the living room. And that's my seat. Oh, guys, it's padded, it's a recliner, it sits in the corner where nobody can sneak up behind you. You've got everything in the room and in the kitchen out in front of you. And I'm going to give you the option to sit there if you want to sit there, because I'm going to say to you, make yourself at home. And if you want to take your shoes off, take your shoes off. If you want to leave them on, leave them on. But I want you to know that you are an honored guest in our house. And for the next ever how long you stay, whether it be minutes or whether it be hours, our attention in the Cunningham house is going to be on you. We're not going to talk about us unless you ask us about us. We're going to focus on you. And you're going to have our undivided attention until you decide, not us, it's time for you to leave, unless it gets really, really late. I've always do what one of my friends said his granddad used to do. His granddad used to say, honey, we're going to have to get up and go to bed because we're keeping these people from leaving. Amen. But I've never had to do that with a guest in our house, because normally a guest will leave at an appropriate time. And here's what I know at the Cunningham. We have never let a guest see themselves out of the house. Have you? I mean, no. We get up. Now, we don't lead you into the foyer, because that would be rude. Amen. That would be saying we're glad you're leaving. We now, even though we led you into the living room, we now walk beside you or behind you down that little hallway back into the foyer. I get you your coat, and we are telling you how glad we were that you took the time to grace us with your presence on this evening. And if we really enjoyed the evening, I might even walk out on the front porch. I might even walk down the steps onto the sidewalk. And I've set myself up now. You're going to judge when you come to my house whether I really enjoyed. You know what we're going to do? We're going to turn the porch light on. We're even going to turn the garage lights on, because we don't want you getting into your car in the dark. Why? Because you're a guest. Do you know what my wife even does from time to time? I've actually even seen her send notes to people who came to our house and thank them for coming. There's even been a few times where I've seen someone at Murray or at the Granary or somewhere, and I'll say, wow, we were so glad you come over the other night. So Lisa and I talked about two or three things we talked about. You got a routine too, right? You know what it means to get ready for company. Well, this morning I'd like for us to think on this thought as we think about being the church. And that's getting ready for company. Because you know what I've learned as pastor of Hardin Baptist Church? Company's coming. And company comes every Sunday. And what we want to do as a church, if we're going to be the church on the rock, if we're going to be the church that meets together to carry out the agenda of the kingdom of heaven, we want to make sure that we are ready for the company that God brings to us. Amen. I found an interesting passage in the Bible. Not one that was familiar to me. And it's in the book of Leviticus chapter 19. Begins with verse 33. Listen to what the word of God says. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Did you hear this? One of the instructions God gave to the children of Israel before they went into the land of Canaan was to be ready. When they looked around, and in the midst of them was someone they did not know. Someone who was a stranger to them. Now, I define a stranger this way. Someone I do not know. That's a stranger. Once I know them, know something about them, they're not a stranger anymore. Agreed? So God said to the children of Israel, don't you ever do wrong to someone you do not know who is in your land. I mean, God's saying Canaan's yours. You own it. It's your property. You've got possession of it. But just understand, from time to time, you're going to have strangers in the land. You're going to have people who don't naturally belong there. But while they're there, you make sure you treat them right. How do you treat them right? You treat them like you would treat the native among you. Now, who's the native? If a stranger is someone you do not know, and because you do not know them, you're going to assume they're not like you because they're not of you. The native would be people you know. People who are like you. People who belong to the nation of Israel. People who also possess the land. Now, do you hear what God's telling Israel? When there is a stranger in your midst, treat the stranger just like you would treat your brother. Love him like you love yourself. We have a way of taking care of ourselves. Amen? It's natural. Do you hear what God's saying to Israel? If you're going to be my people, you make sure you love the stranger in the land just like you love yourself. For here's the reason why. Here is the motivation. Here's the theology for Israel's behavior and how they treated strangers. For you were a stranger in Egypt. I, the Lord, am your God. In other words, what God wanted Israel to remember was when they got into the land and they possessed the land as theirs, he wanted them to remember what it was like to be a stranger in Egypt. He said, don't you ever forget what it was like to be a stranger in Egypt, because if you forget, you might treat a stranger in your midst like the Egyptians treated you, but because I am your God, I expect you to treat the strangers in your land differently than Egypt treated you when you were in their land. Amen? New Testament in Romans 12:13 and Hebrews 13:2 says for us to be hospitable. Do you know what the word hospitable means in Greek? It's a compound word. Love of strangers. Wow. Now, what I'd like for us to do this morning is this. Let's understand that as God's people, who used to be strangers to the family of God, we need to recognize that from time to time, we're going to have people who are not of us come to our family gatherings. I think God expects us to treat them like he treated us. Amen? Company's coming. And boy, we are one of those churches that are blessed every Sunday with company. Do you realize that for a person to make it in a local church, they have to get connected to 7 different people? If they don't get connected to 7 different people within 6 months, there's a good chance they'll not make it in that church. Do you realize that? Did you know that if people only make 2 meaningful connections in a local church, within 6 months they'll be gone? Can't survive. Remember what we taught ourselves last week? Church is who we are. It's not where we go. What I'd like to talk to us about this morning is this. It's going to be very difficult to talk about this morning because we've got guests here this morning. And we'll have guests in all 3 services. We had a guest at the campground service this morning. If you're a guest this morning, I hope you understand. We're just doing this morning what you do at your house to get ready for company. And we have to get ready for company. And there's not another time we can talk about this. But we're really glad you're here, and we want you to understand how valuable you are to us. What we're going to try to do at Hardin is this. We're going to try to guesterize our church. Do you know there's a difference between a guest and a visitor, correct? If you'll notice, we don't greet visitors here at Hardin because we don't have many visitors at Hardin. By definition, a visitor is someone you expect to leave. Hey, man. Is that not right? You don't expect guests to leave, do you? You expect guests to stay. If you have a guest over your house, you expect them to stay. If you have a visitor over your house, you expect them to leave. TV breaks down, TV repairman comes. He's not a guest. He's a visitor. I expect him to get it done and leave. Telephone repairman comes to repair the telephone line. We expect him to leave. He's a visitor. Guests, we expect to stay. We're not going to talk about visitorizing our church. We're going to talk about guesterizing our church. You know what it means to winterize a home, customize a car. So let's think about guesterizing the family of God. And let's just use the principles that God has taught us naturally in how we treat guests in our home and apply it to the church, understanding that the first thing God wants us to understand is this. We have ownership of the church. God gave Israel the land and expected them, once they occupied the land, to remember who He was and where they had been and where they were now was because of Him. Amen? Here's a principle that must motivate us as a church. We have ownership of this. Did you hear that? How many of you have been here more than three times? Raise your hand. You're us. Can I say them one more time? If you've been here more than three times, you're us. If you've been here more than twice, you're us. If you've been here more than once, we claim you. You just don't know it yet. For those of you here for the first time this morning, you're a guest of ours. We hope you stay. The only way we would concede that you are a visitor, if you live 1,000 miles from here, that's too far to drive to Hardin on Sunday mornings. Unless you live in Florida, I could visit you in a hospital in Florida. Hey, man. You're a guest. You are us. We must accept responsibility. If you've been here more than three times, you are not a guest of Hardin anymore. You're Hardin. Whether you call yourself a member or a regular tender, you're one of those. Do you believe that? You are the church at Hardin. You've got to quit talking about them and start using we and us and my vocabulary. You must accept responsibility for everything that happens in this place when we gather as the family of God assembled to carry out the agenda of the kingdom of heaven. So let's think about this. And let's first try to remember when we were a stranger at Hardin. When we were a guest at Hardin. Can any of you remember your first time here? Do any of you have that nightmare of your first visit to Hardin downtown? Three services, no room, parking lot full. The tailors came back, but they've told me personally about coming downtown. Couldn't get in the foyer, couldn't find a parking spot. And knew there wasn't a place for them here. Can't tell you how many stories I've heard like that. Can you remember the first time walking into this building? And how big it was to most of us. Let's not forget that. But now let's remember this. I am responsible for how our guests perceive us. And here's what I know. We will never get a second chance to make a first impression. First impressions are normally the most valuable in a person's life. Do you know, in studying for this, I read that people make 11 decisions about the church in the first 7 seconds they're here. It's amazing how quick the mind can work. You make 11 unconscious decisions in the first 7 seconds you're here. Wow. Now, here's what I want to suggest as we guesterize our church. Now, I don't want anybody thinking Hardin's got a problem. I call the visitors every week. I try to. And you know what most visitors tell me? They have a positive experience with our church. I had somebody run up to me at the campground service this morning and say, "Brother Ricky, man, Hardin's a friendly church. I had a positive experience. I remember the first time I came there." I appreciate that, but I want to say this to you. When the Los Angeles Lakers under Pat Riley won their first NBA championship, Pat Riley knew that very few teams ever repeat. You know why very few teams ever repeat? They lose their edge when they get to the top. They live off their past success. You know what Pat Riley did to be a repeat champion with the Los Angeles Lakers? When the NBA championship was over and they started into the offseason, Pat Riley set them down as a team and said, "Guys, we will not repeat next year unless we improve in the offseason." Because everybody that did not win, those who got a taste of what we have tasted, will work to be better. And here's what I challenge you. In the five areas of fundamental basketball, I challenge you to improve yourself 1% this offseason. Pat Riley knew that if 12 players improve 1% in five different areas, each one of them would improve themselves 5%, multiply that times 12, and the team could improve 60% starting next season, and they repeated as NBA champions. I don't want you to think Hardin's got a problem, but here's what I want to say. We can't rest off our laurels. We can't rest over what we've done in the past. We can't rest on your experience. We've got to create new experiences. We've got to create new first impressions for people. And here's the first impression. If you come to my house, I'm going to give you the best parking spot. Are you helping us give people who are guests of ours the best parking space at Hardin Baptist? I was amazed that when you gave me the new truck, some of you thought I was going to change where I park. I'm driving a new Toyota now, and I got people saying to me, "Brother, why do you still park over in the back of the church? Won't you park in front?" I've had some people even be nice enough to want to give me a pastor spot at the church because they know I have to go to the campground. I have to get here. And I'm always running late because I preach so long. Wasn't that awesome? But I've always refused those perks. You know why? I didn't park in the back of the church because I was ashamed of my Nissan. I was never ashamed of it. You were. I wasn't. Now, I'm a whole lot more proud of the new truck than I was the Nissan. But let me tell you something. I've always parked behind the church. I've always parked to the side of the church. I've always parked the farthest away. You know why? Because I don't want to take up the best parking spot. If I was a member or regular attendant of the church, I would not park in the front parking lot. I would not park in front of the doors. Oh, I know, in a Baptist church, early bird gets the best parking spot and the best seat. Yeah, if church is all about you, you do. Now, if you're physically handicapped and you can't walk farther, you park there. But listen to me. We shouldn't have to reserve the first 6 parking spots in front of the church and put guest parking there. We ought to know. I go to Walmart and I circle 5 times to get the closest spot to the door. Amen? You think guests who come to our church are going to do any different? No. So why don't we say to them, "I'm going to park out by the shop." And most of us here could use a little more exercise than what we're getting. Amen? I'm meddling now, right? Now, we're not going to put guest parking up because I know what people do. They'll think it's a privilege to be a guest. You'll never join the church because as long as you're a guest, you can keep parking in the guest parking lot. We don't want to have to arbitrarily say this is where guests park. We want people to park there as guests because the church people say to them, "We want you to have the best space because you're our guest." Why? Because we took the time this week to get ready for you to be here, and it's not a surprise to us that you came. Amen? Now, once they get out of the car and they come into that front door, wow, what a foyer. Amen. You know, the thing that I love the most about this church is our foyer. Because I had a bad experience downtown in the other foyer. Amen. I mean, I think three people died in the foyer. You know, I mean, they didn't. But man, it was a health hazard, was it not? It was worse than a rock concert when we're dismissing services and people trying to come in, people trying to get out. You could have got trampled death if you ever fell on the ground. Now get this picture. Someone steps into that foyer. Can I tell you what they ought to expect from us? If we're going to guesterize this church, if we're going to improve each one of us 1% in this area, here's what we need to do. We need to make sure that when someone steps into the foyer, they get the same thing they get at your house, and that's the best service possible. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen. As long as you think church is where you go, you're going to get to church, and you're going to get in your seat, and you're going to wait for something to start. Because church is a place we go. No. Church is not where we go. Church is who we are. So the object of Sunday morning is to not get here early, to get in our place so we can wait for something to start. We want to get here early because we want to be ready for company. Which means what? When someone steps in those doors, I think three things need to happen. Number one, there needs to be talk. Number two, there needs to be touch. And number three, the tour needs to start. I've made them real simple. Talk, touch, and the tour starts. Can we implement what's called the 10-foot rule? Do you know about the 10-foot rule? Nike says just do it. 10-foot rule says just say hi. I can't come out of those doors and walk over to my seat. I've got to say hi to Matt, and I've got to say hi to Norm, and I've got to say hi to Pat. Jamie and Lynn and Rita. Danny and Arlene, I've got to talk to. And I've got to say to hi, Arlene. I've got to talk to Ron. I've got to talk to Mary. I've got to talk to Faye. I've got to talk to John. Now, those of you over in the corner, I don't have to talk to you because you're not within 10 foot of me. I get accused of not being friendly to that side of the church. Well, put me a side door over there. I can come in and I'll come that direction. But I have to come in this direction. I'm a side door member. I get within 10 foot of somebody, I've got to say hi. I mean, I just feel like I'm rude if I meet you and don't say hi, but I do that at Walmart. Amen? Now, I can't enter into a two-hour conversation with Matt or Pat, but I can say hi to Matt. I can look at their face and see if they're having a good day or a bad day. And you know what I like to do? I like to touch. I've learned that living things need to be touched. Now, I don't know if this happens to all of you guys, but have you guys ever took your dog to the vet while you're on vacation? Now, listen, we got great vets. This is not the vet's fault. But you take your dog at home who's used to being touched and rubbed on and then go away for 2 weeks and nobody touch him, just feed him and just walk him, and you come home and you almost pull the hair off of his body. Psychologically, he goes into trauma. You know that, right? Is that not true? Get him home for 2 days and hair reattaches. Do you know when people come to the house of the Lord, they need a touch? Now, let's not hug inappropriately. And let's not hug a complete guest we don't know. But in our society, I don't think it's a thing wrong with saying, "Hi, I'm Brother Ricky." Now, I'm expecting this guy to tell me who he is. If he doesn't tell me who he is, I'm going to say, "I didn't catch your name." Now, if he doesn't tell me his name after that, I'm going to know to back off. He doesn't want to talk to me. And because he's a guest and I'm going to make himself at home, I'm going to respectfully back off. But he's still going to get a hi and he's still going to get a handshake. Amen? Now, if we're going to do this, let's make sure the hand we reach out is clean. If you feed the pigs before you come to church and you gather the eggs before you come to church, please wash your hand before you come to church. If you go to the donut shack right here in our foyer and you get donut and you get ice all over your hands, please wipe the icing off your hands before you shake somebody's hand. If you go to the bathroom, please wash your hands before you come out of the bathroom. Amen? And then let me say this. I'm in the foyer. I'm getting ready for company. Man, when companies come and Solis and I don't talk to each other. We talk to company. I'm amazed at how some of us get to the foyer at church. And that's when we talk to our son or our daughter or our brother or sister or our husband and our wife. Man, what are you doing at home? Now's the time for it not to be about you. Now it's the time to be about somebody else. Now it's time to start talking to others. Why? Because we want to grow a church? No. Because we want to be friendly? No. Because that's what our God did to us. Amen? We're going to treat others the way He has treated us. We're going to treat others the way we would want to be treated. And let me tell you what needs to happen. When I make a meaningful touch and I have a meaningful talk, there needs to be a tour start. I've talked to a few visitors and they dread our hall. Now, we love our hall. Praise God, if you were downtown in that 3-foot wide hall and 600 people trying to pick up their kids and 500 in the nursery. Man, we love that 4-lane highway. Amen? Have you ever thought about being a guest and them tell you something's down the hall? And you start down that hall and it's like, whoa, it never ends. Instead of us pointing to the nursery, why can't we improve just a little bit and someone say, wow, because you see they've got 3 little kids. You know that's a struggle because you remember when you had your kids. Instead of pointing to somebody to where the information center is, why don't you take them to the information center? Instead of pointing them to nursery, why don't you take them to nursery? Why don't you say, can I help you? Everybody here knows that we offer educational classes for all of our kids during a worship service. Why don't you see when you see a family coming in? Would you like to take your kids to an educational class right now, or do you want them to worship with you? See, we give them the option. But we help. Why do we assume people know to come in the doors and go straight? Why don't we assume that if someone steps in the foyer through the front door, they might not have been invited by anybody? There's a good chance they're coming for worship first. That's what most people do today. They don't look for a class first. They come to worship first. Why don't we see someone step in the door? Why don't we say, because remember what it was like when we were here. Why don't we say, are you here to worship with us this morning? Why don't you come and let me take you into the worship center? And we bring somebody into the worship center. That's what you do at home. What would happen if we did that as a church? See, we're going to give them the best space. We're going to give them the best service. Then once we bring them into the worship center, and I know it's going to get real touchy here. But you know what we should desire a person to have when they get into this room? We should desire them to have the best seat. And you know whose seat that is? It's yours. That's yours. They did a survey among visitors, guests, and let me tell you what they identified as the best seats in a church. The back third of the church and the outside rows of the church. Did you catch that? Back third and outside seats on the rows. You ever been that person that you grab your seat, you sit down, no one over there, and someone comes in, and you stand up, step out, and let them go in there. You know what you're saying? This is my seat. Guests get that message loud and clear. Now, unless there's an extenuating circumstances that you got a medical condition and you might have to get out. You just know this is the Sunday you're going to get saved, so you're on the end because you want to come get saved that Sunday if Brother Ricky gives an invitation. What would be wrong with us scooting down, sitting in the middle instead of on the outside? What would be wrong with us saying, you know what? If the back seat is the best seat, I'm going to move up four. Yeah, I'm going to walk a little farther in the parking lot, and I'm going to walk a little deeper into the worship center. But let me tell you what's got to happen here. When we get in here, guys, there's no other way I know that we can arrange these seats and still get a lot of people in here unless we take them all out. At my house, I don't sit down before the company sits down. Do you? Then why do we sit down first? Because we're waiting for something to start. What would happen if next Sunday we all came in and really decided, you know what? I've been sitting in my section for about 5 years. Well, not this section, just 3 years. But I really don't know the people two rows back. And I don't know the people on the other end of the row. So you know what I'm going to do over the next few weeks? I'm going to learn to know the people behind me in front of me. And you know what I know? We are creatures of habit. I'm just wondering if anybody on this side of the church has noticed that Rex Vail hadn't been here in a little while. Rex has started a restaurant. Am I not right, Carla? I've had a few people tell me, why have you been to Rex's place yet? It's really good. Do you know who should know that? Everybody right over here. Because Rex Vail's sat over here ever since he's been here. I mean, when Stoney's not here, we ought to miss Stoney. Now, the people of our not going to miss Stoney because they don't know Stoney. But everybody right here ought to know Stoney because why? This is where Stoney always sits. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, can we not be honest with each other? When we have the guests raise their hand so that the pastor can see they're out here, didn't you already know they were a guest? Because they weren't there the Sunday before, and they weren't there the Sunday before that. Now, don't y'all move seats on me, because y'all would really mess me up. I want you to sit in a same region of the church, because that lets you know the people around you. How many times has someone missed that we didn't get their name? And we've been missing them, and we've been praying for God to bring back their name, and we can't remember the name because we never introduced ourselves. We introduced it once, but we didn't catch it. We didn't write a name down. And then we got ashamed to ask. Don't be ashamed to ask. That way, when that person misses, we can really call and say, I missed you. Does that make sense? Hey, we can be strategic as a staff and reach out to people, but that's not what we want. We want a natural outflow. What if the person sitting near you would like to develop a relationship with you? Would you be willing to enter into that? How are you going to know unless we take some time to talk? Amen? I think we can all improve in this area. Do you not agree? If we all improved 1% in this area in the next 6 months, our church would improve 12 to 1,300%. That would be phenomenal in the business world if an organization can improve itself that fast in that short of a time. Now, this is important. It's not over till it's over. It's not over when Brother Rick says, get out of here and don't run over the people at 9:15. It's not over till our guests get in their car and leave our parking lot. Amen? Because at my house, I have never sat in my chair, to my knowledge, and let somebody find their way out. Have you? Not if they're a guest. See, if they're a guest and you want them to come and stay, when it is time for them to leave, you're going to be sad, and you're going to want them to know you want them to come back, right? So you don't lead them to the door. You walk beside them or behind them to the door. Let them set the pace, right? But you're talking all the time saying, wow, we had such a good time. Glad you were here. And then you actually saw them get in the car. You did not turn off the porch light until they left. See, I not only want a person to have the best seat and the best service and the best space. I want them to have the best send-off possible. So here's the rule. It's called the 5-minute rule. We can't talk to our friends or to our family till 5 minutes after we've left the worship center or our Sunday school class. We got to talk to others. And you know what? They might become a friend. And we might recognize their spiritual family. So that while I'm going out of here, B and Brent's not going to have a holy huddle. We are bad at holy huddling at Hardin. Let's see our guest out. Then let's come back in and have a holy huddle. Amen? Why? Because I remember when I used to be a guest. How about you? I remember the first Sunday I drove up on the parking lot at Hardin Baptist Church to preach a trial sermon. And I wondered if anybody would be there. I wondered if they would like me. I wondered what kind of impression they would have on me. And to be totally honest with you, I didn't have a thought about them. I was thinking about me, and they were all insecurities. You know what I've discovered since? I've discovered through resets that every guest has three questions they ask. Because do you know that the loneliest place you can be is not when you're by yourself? The loneliest place you can be is to be in a crowd. First question a guest asks is, am I welcome? Second question they ask is this, am I accepted? And the third question they ask is, am I needed? See, we start by making our guests feel welcome. But when they come back, they're going to come back because they felt welcome. So the next thing that's going to be on their mind is, will this church accept me? Because we all know those deep secrets about ourselves that we think if we shared with somebody, they wouldn't like. And we're wondering, if we shared those, would these people still accept us? And then once they accept us, can you imagine what it would be to be a Christian African-American coming into a Caucasian church? Have you ever thought what it would be like to be a guest at Murray State University as a student from another country and visit an American church? And my skin color and my dialect and my language is totally different. Here's what I'm going to know. Are they going to accept me? Then I'm going to ask myself this. Do they need me? Am I needed? Because can I tell you what? I don't think the people who really have it just want to sit in a church service and soak. I think they want to know they're making a difference. I think people want to live lives that count. Amen. And you know what? We got to make sure, and we're going to talk about this over the next 2 weeks. We're going to talk about how we got to let people know we need them. And we really need them. Will you help us guest arise, Hardin? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I don't know why Salisa does this, but it seems to work. Somebody can come over to our house. We pour out the red carpet, serve them the best of everything we got. Then they go home. Instead of them calling us and thanking us for inviting them over, Salisa calls them and thanks them for coming. Duh. I meet somebody on the street that's been in my house instead of me waiting for them to tell me what a great host I was. I'll run up to them and say, thank you so much for coming over to our house the other night. Why don't we do that as a church? So we're going to add two more T's. We're not only going to touch. We're not only going to talk. We're not only going to tour. We live in a high-tech world, and most people don't expect a personal visit at first. But, you know, I think people don't mind a telephone call just saying, wow, glad you're in our church service Sunday. We really appreciate having you there. Hope you'll come back. Then later, if they continue to come back, wouldn't it be neat if that someone who lived in the Jonathan district invited someone who visited from the Jonathan district over to their table just to talk? Just coffee and pie, milk and pie. Water and pie. Or maybe just a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord. That's all you got. I wonder what it would say to a guest. We're not going to force them to come. I wonder what it would say if someone from north called someone that visited from north and said, hey man, I discovered you at our church Sunday. You live 3 miles down the road. How about Thursday night? We'd like to meet you. Talk to you about our experience at Hardin. We got to get back to sharing our table with people. Because the table in the biblical world was a sign of acceptance. It was a place of intimacy. And we're losing that today. Amen? Can you help us improve 1% in those five areas? Touch, talk, tour, telephone, and table. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to reach under your chair right now, and there's a card. There is a card. It's called Community Connection Sign Up. I want everybody to get one. Unless you're a first-time guest. We don't have you yet. You come back next week and you're us. We're telling you. Would each one of you sign one of these per family? Some of you are saying, Brother Ricky, I'm already in the Community Connection. I know you are, but we want everyone to do this. Because we're starting out fresh at Hardin. Would you take the pencil that's underneath your chair with that card and would you fill this out? Just fill this out. It's going to ask what school district you live in. This is not asking you if you have kids or where you send your kids. Our community connections, the way we want to get you connected, is in the community of the public school system that your kids would attend if they went to elementary school. So if you live in the North School District, don't tell me you send your kids to Murray. You're in the North District. Unless there's an extreme circumstance. If you live in Benton, and that's where your kids would go to school, at the Benton Elementary, then you're in our Benton Community Connection. Jonathan, South Marshall, East, Southwest. Does everyone understand this? So circle down there which district you would live in. If you live outside Callaway or Marshall or Graves, just write on the bottom which county you live in. Now on the back, if you would like to help us be community leaders, be leaders of a community, help us carry out our purposes, I want you to put your name on the back. This doesn't mean you have that responsibility. It doesn't mean we're going to expect you to do it. But it gives me the liberty to call you and talk to you about the responsibility. If you've heard what we've talked about this morning, you'd like to say, Brother Ricky, I'd really like to help us be more friendly to our guests. And you'd like to be involved in and help us step up our guest ministry. Would you just write guest on the back? And I'll know to call you to talk to you about guest. In other words, if you'd be one of those who lives in Jonathan and you'd be willing to help us greet our guest in the community during the week, you put John, a guest on the back, and when I see it says John on front, then I'll know that means, hey, I can let you know we had a guest from Jonathan, and if they live within your close by you, you'd be willing to say, hey, I'll make a touch this week. Now, we're not going to impose ourselves on our guest. We just want to give them the opportunity, because here's what we're going to be respectful of. Some people like Hardin because there's anonymity. They need a time to heal. They don't want to be touched. They don't want to be talked to. We're going to be respectful of that. Amen? But if you're here this morning and you're like that, listen, we're going to get you out of that. Because that's not healthy. We're going to give you time to heal. Then we want to bring you into the body of Christ. Amen?